Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Sabathia with a 1-2 pitch, swinging a drive down the left field line. Braun going back.
Come on,
he looks up, and it is gone!
Yes!
Grand slam, Victorino!
Oh, my!
Phillies lead here in the second, 5-1.
A 1-2 pitch. Oh, is that huge?
Phillies Brewers 2008. Victorino off Sabathia, who was untouchable down the stretch. What a moment as the Phillies took down the Brewers on the way to a World Series championship. Maybe they'll have the same path this year. Welcome back. Midday Show live today. Chickies of Pizza, South Philly for the Red October Rally. Nothing goes better with Phillies baseball than crab fries and ice-cold Budweiser. Online at chickiesandpeets.com. We'll get back to all your phone calls here in just minutes. Right now, though, we go out to the guest lines. Joining us from the Philadelphia Choir is Alex Coffey. Alex, how you doing today?
Alex.
Good. How are you guys?
We're
pretty good. Pretty
good. We're ready, Alex. We're ready for Red October here. So you were at you talked to Topper after the workout yesterday. What was your sense listening to him talk about the number two game, game two, Sanchez, Nola? What'd you take from that?
Yeah, so we weren't allowed in the actual game, so I didn't actually get to see anyone pitch. But it sounds like he's leaning towards Sanchez just because of the home road splits. He pitches to close to a 2 ERA at home and then a 5 ERA on the road. I don't know exactly what the splits are, but it's like something similar to that. So it's a pretty drastic difference. And the Phillies don't know why that happens or why there's that discrepancy, but it's enough. It's enough of a sample size that they don't really want to risk it in the playoffs. So, since game two would be at home, my guess would be Sanchez pitches that one.
Alex, do you think the Phillies have a preference? I'm not going to tell us, but do you think they would have a preference based on the matchup, Mets or Brewers coming in here Saturday?
You know, I don't know. I mean, it's. I've been talking around to people around the game, like scouts, different team officials, and if I had to pick one, I would probably pick the Mets as the better matchup, just because the Phillies have a bunch of hitters who can mash left-handed pitching, and the Mets have, and you know, they can mash both sides of the plate, but, you know, you have Schwarber, who has really good splits against lefties, leading off this year. Austin Hayes hits really well against lefties, Bryce, you know, and the Mets have a lot of left-handed starters. And I also think that, you know, their bullpen is a weakness, the Mets' bullpen, with the exception of Edwin Diaz and Buto. So bullpens matter a lot more in the playoffs than they do in the regular season. So I think that could be a factor, you know, in a playoff series too. So that would be my guess. But obviously, like you said, no one is saying one way or the other.
Alex, you mentioned Austin Hayes there. I feel like he's almost the forgotten man in this Phillies thing. You know, they trade for him at the deadline. Immediately they say he's an everyday player. And then he was for like a week or two. And then he got hurt. And then, unfortunately, he got sick. And he just really hasn't played much. And I'm curious how this is going to play out, because when they got him, they made it sound like they believe he's their left fielder. But that hasn't been able to come to fruition. What's your guess on how this plays out? Because the three players there, Rojas, Marsh, Hayes, it's kind of an interchangeable two out of the three play. What's your guess for how often we see Austin Hayes in the starting lineup?
I mean, Thompson said yesterday that he still thinks that he's an everyday player. So I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll see based on matchups, like how they use him. But he was starting to make progress against righties before he went on the injured list. He had figured out some stuff mechanically, like simplifying his mechanics, not moving his head as much so he can make better decisions in the box. And obviously that work was interrupted when he had, you know, the kidney infection and the injury before that. But the Phillies like him a lot. And I think that if they end up doing like platoons, my guess, not really a super informed guess, would be that it's Austin Hayes and Cody Clemens in left, and then maybe some combination of Marsh and Rojas in center. But again, I think it's just going to come down to their splits against certain pitchers and matchups and things like that.
Alex Coffey, Philadelphia Choir, joining us here during our Red October rally as we get ready for postseason baseball. All right, Alex, the cleanup hitter for the majority of the season was Alec Bohm. And then he got banged up in September and he hurt his hand there. Castellanos took over as the cleanup hitter. And he's hit so well, he kind of stayed there. What's your anticipation for who hits cleanup behind Bryce Harper?
I mean, if we're going based on you know, what they've done lately, then it would probably be Castellanos, because I think he was hitting cleanup throughout like the end of the regular season. And I believe that they hit him cleanup in yesterday's sim game too. Thompson said that he and Harper and Castellanos hit back-to-back home runs in that game. So I don't know if, you know, that lineup is gonna predict what we see in the NLDS, but that would be my guess, is Castellanos hits cleanup.
Alex, we go back to the game two decision. You mentioned the home road splits. The other thing I'm wondering if it factors in is Ranger, right? Because he's going to pitch game four. And I'm wondering if they want the length of Nola in front of Ranger, right? In case game four becomes a bullpen game. If you know you have Nola in game three, you probably got six or seven innings there. What's your thought on Ranger based on what they said yesterday? It's just been such a weird season. You know, he was so amazing in the first half. And then since June, his ERA's well over five. Do you think that Ranger is a full-go starter, or could that game he pitches be more like a bullpen game?
Yeah, so they're calling him the game. I think Thompson said it in Washington, D.C., that he's the game – he feels comfortable with him as a game four starter. I don't know if he, like, declared him the game four starter or whatever, but that was what he said back then. And I think that that's true, but I don't think that they would have a super long leash with him. So I do think it makes sense to pitch Nola in front of him. Like, if Nola goes the distance, then you don't have to lean on the bullpen as much. And then, you know, maybe have Ranger go through the order once and then have, you know, kind of more something closer to a bullpen game. I think that would make sense, just because you don't really know what version of him you're going to get in a playoff game. And for all we know, maybe he just turns it on and the you know, the fans, the adrenaline, something clicks for him. But it's a little bit of an unknown right now.
Alex, where do you come down on the format baseball has put in the last few years? Obviously, the Phillies have benefited. I mean, they've done well the last couple of seasons, but now they're on the opposite side of this thing. They have the bye. They're sitting with the rest.
Oh, while rest versus rust.
Yeah, rest versus rust. Do you think it's a major concern? Or I just keep coming back to it. It just feels like a small sample we're reacting to. It's been a few years of this. And Alex, I just think 10 years from now, we're going to go back and look at it like, oh, yeah, it evened out. I mean, the better team started to win these series.
Yeah, and it is a small sample. I think Fangraphs looked at this last year, and there was a sample of like 30 or so games that they looked at between like teams that had four games or more of rest versus teams that had two games or fewer. And I'm pretty sure the teams with more rest went 24. Like it was like 24 and 11. Like the teams that had more rest won the majority of the games. So I don't think that it's like automatically a detriment. And obviously the Phillies are banged up. Like, you know, a bunch of players could really benefit from that week. So, so I personally see it as more of an asset than a detriment. But I also think it really matters how you prepare. You know, clearly some teams, like you look at the Braves, they've said, their manager has said that they felt like they were detrimentally impacted by that week and the rust that came with it. So I think that that's a real thing. You know, even if the rust impacts different teams differently, I think like how you prepare is super important.
Alex, we appreciate you hopping on, and we'll be following and reading your work over the Inquirer, and we'll see you at the park. Thank you, Alex.
Appreciate
you,
Alex.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one. Bye.
There she goes. Alex Coffey of the Philadelphia Inquirer. That was interesting, the study that teams with more rest in general, not just
these
playoffs.
That sounds like a Harvard
series.
Study.
Do we have any Harvard Hughes studies lately?
No, not on that. That's inconclusive.
Okay.
The last time I checked, that study was inconclusive. But I do find it interesting because being a part of some of these rest versus rust scenarios, sometimes it just feels like it. You know, you never want to be in a situation where you feel like as the game is going on that you're playing catch up. But normally that's what it usually feels like. You know, you're not as sharp as you are. And I think even if we were talking to Ruben earlier, he said it's a possibility that with them having this time off, that there's probably going to be a couple innings where, you know, it might take them a while to catch up.
Yeah, and it's really the hitters, right? Let's listen to Dave Dombrowski. Dombrowski spoke about this. And, Hugh, I don't think it's the pitchers. Like, I expect Zach Wheeler to go out tomorrow and pitch well, right? Like, Zach Wheeler has extra rest. He's been one of the best two or three pitchers in baseball the entire year. I expect we're going to get a really good Zach Wheeler start with a little extra rest padded in there to end his season. It's the offense. It's timing. Let's hear Dombrowski on if there's any concern off the rest, which side of it is.
I'm more concerned about our offense getting going. It just is. Guys have days off. We're routine-oriented. I know that we're going to front. Now, during an all-star break, you don't have control of the players. That's different than that. But now we're in a position where we can work on high level, on high volume, velocity machines, work on the curveball machine. We're going to throw batting practice, have atrophy, inter-squad game tomorrow. Some guys will throw again on Thursday. But I always worry more about the offensive perspective of the game because days off that way can normally cause you concern.
So, I mean, there's Dombrowski who's saying it, that's the concern is not the pitching side of things. It is the offensive side.
Yeah, and it's obvious that what they did this week by having the simulated game and going into the pitching, what was that, the pitching machine or whatever, and the getting all the simulated pitches, that they're a little bit concerned about it as well. They want to try to do – they have done, I should say, everything that they could possibly do to make sure that this rest thing isn't a detriment to this team, and I think that's important. Whether or not you believe it, there's something to it because they went out of their way to make sure that it doesn't happen to them. I don't know what the Braves did last year as far as how they handled the downtime, anything like that, but it just feels like the Phillies made sure that the hitting was not going to be a factor going into this series.
Yeah, one thing I think that we are kind of forgetting as a fan base. Now, we haven't had experience with this thing, Hugh, where it's been end of the regular season, then you wait 5 or 6 days, then you play a playoff game. This is their first time with the bye. But 2 years ago, and I went back and pulled up the Game 1 lineup of the World Series. It's a lot of the same team, right, that was in the World Series 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They won the National League on a Sunday afternoon here in Philadelphia. They didn't play Game 1 of the World Series till Friday night in Houston. So it's very similar, right? Maybe it's one extra day, I guess. But it's pretty similar. They won that game 6-5. They scored 6 runs. Schwarber, JT, Bryce, Castellanos, Bohm, Sosa, Stott, Marsh, all in the lineup that night. Like, they've done this, and I know this is a little bit different, but they had a long layoff between the LCS and the World Series, and they won Game 1. Let's go to the phone lines here. Rob and Delco. What's up, Rob?
Rob.
Joe, you. What's up, fellas?
What's up,
Hey,
man?
Rob.
Listen, I got a message from Mr. Fritz who's listening, okay?
Uh-huh.
Picture this. You guys know Rocky IV, okay?
Of course.
You know, in the beginning, he's getting his head pounded in the first couple of rounds, Hugh, right? And then all of a sudden, he lands a haymaker, and what does he do? He cuts the Russian, right?
Yes.
So all of a sudden, I'm relating the Mets to the Russians, where it's like, oh, he's unbeatable. We don't want to face them. It's too much. They got the momentum. They're too strong for us. They're too deep, whatever it may be. But all of a sudden, they got cut last night. The Brewers cut them last night.
Cut them.
So you see, Mr. Fritz, they're not a machine. They're just like everybody else.
Well, they're not a machine. They're a hot team, but they're not unbeatable. It's a six seed who got in at the end, the last day of the season.
You're damn right, Joe. You see, you cut them. They're not a machine. They bleed just like everybody else. You're human like everybody else. They get hit around like everybody else.
No, I mean, I hear you.
So
I hear you. I'm with it.
So scared, Hugh.
I'm not scared. I just don't want the annoying fans here. That's it.
Listen, I agree with you, annoying fans.
They're annoying.
But I'm just saying, afraid. I'm not. Listen, there's a lot of mediocrity in the playoffs. Anybody can beat anybody. So listen, my fear is, if they don't get it done this year, it's like a Dallas Green type of environment, Joe, for next year. Where we love Topper, but I still haven't forgiven him from 2 years ago, game six, taking out Wheeler, okay? And he's got this tendency to stay loyal to these guys and get burnt. And my thing is, does he come under a lot of scrutiny, Joe? Like, maybe job potential scrutiny, where if he doesn't get it done this year with adding a $300 million player on top of what they already had in Trey Turner? That's my concern. Topper is a major concern for me. So.
I don't think you're the only one that feels that way. And, Rob, I think adding to this, there is a now-or-never sense in my mind to you. I know.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
Bryce said a couple weeks ago that their window isn't closing. And, look, I think it's great
You're a little bit older, though.
They're all older. I mean, Bryce's in his 30s.
A little longer
than Schwarber's in his 30s. Yeah. Castellanos in his 30s. Real Muto in his 30s. I wonder. One of the big questions I have heading into Saturday is, how do they channel the pressure versus playing loose? Because they got to feel that. I don't know if they talk it among themselves, but there's got to be a sense of, like, we only got so many shots at this thing with this group while we're still healthy and together. Like, let me use Zach Wheeler for an example. How much longer is Zach Wheeler going to be this good? He's in his 30s, right? Yeah. Like, he's in his mid-30s. Like,
you think about it. You start to get to that. I can tell you. As you get to the twilight of your career and you still have some good years in front of you, you start to think, like, when am I going to break through?
Yep.
Because you've made a lot of money. I went through this in my career. And, you know, initially when you come in, you want the bread. The bread is the most important thing to you. You want the cash. You want to get that financial stability. Then you get on your second contract. And now you start to wonder, when are you going to potentially be in the upper echelon of NFL players? It's like a progression. You go through, I want to be in the league, to I want to get paid. Now you're trying to work on your Hall of Fame status and Super Bowl, you know, trying to win one of those.
The icing on the cake to
a career. Bowl is icing on the cake. And a lot of players, that's why you try to keep it in perspective, man, because a lot of players don't get to that level. There's a lot of damn good players in the NFL and that have played in the NFL. Never won a playoff game. There's a lot of damn good players. Never been to the playoffs. I mean, think about that. And there's even fewer that have ever played in the Super Bowl. And then the icing on the cake, like you said, there's even fewer that have actually won it. Now, you have guys that have won multiple Super Bowls. But you can go out down the list of great players that have not won a Super Bowl. And that's where you tend to try to separate yourself.
Yeah, and I think this goes one of two ways. The Phillies will either channel it and play their best baseball for the next 4 weeks and win a championship, or they're going to succumb to that pressure because they're not the underdog now, right? They don't get to go in.
They're not the hunter. They're the hunted.
They're the hunted, and there's an expectation, and there also is the reality of father time. They could talk all they want about, you know, this run doesn't have to end after this year, and it doesn't, but you know, if we're comparing this to the Phillies maybe 15 years ago, we're way closer to the 2011 for this group than we are 2007, right? Like, they don't have five more years of this thing with this group. A lot of these guys are in their early to mid-30s. Father time doesn't lie. Maybe one or two will play well into their mid-30s and late-30s, but not all five or six or seven of them. It feels like a now or never for me. 215-592-9494. Zach in Roersford. Hey, Zach.
Hey, what's up, man? How you guys
What's up, Zach? What are you thinking today?
Good. Happy birthday, Joe, by the way. Our birthdays are the same day, man. I've been listening to you for years, and I had no idea we had the same birthday.
Happy birthday to you, too, Zach.
Yes, sir. Yeah, thanks, buddy. I mean, you guys just said it. You know, the window isn't as large as we'd liked it to be. I mean, all these guys are getting older. And that's kind of why I wanted to comment on the Trey Turner, Edmundo Sosa thing. I would 100% put him in the ninth inning. And I acknowledge Hugh's point where, you know, what if we need the bat in the ninth? Edmundo Soto, he's in like the 260 range batting. I mean, he's not nothing in it when it comes to hitting. I mean, he's not like, you know, Rojas. Like, he can hit the ball. I want the best guys out there at all times. And I think this is one of our better years that we have to win a World Series. I get the whole feelings thing, but I'm so tired of hearing about feelings. I'm trying to win a baseball game. Like, this feelings. Dude gets paid paid $900 bajillion dollars, and when they win a World Series, he can hold the trophy over his head, and then he can cry as much as he wants. I want to win a World Series.
Feelings matter,
and Edmundo Sosa on defense.
Zach, I'm picking with you, but Phillies, they do kind of matter a little bit.
More
you're
championships?
Right. Some people, they
do. I just want to say this. If I had the pockets that Trey has, I'd wipe them feelings away with all those Benjamins, brother. World Series, once they win the World Series, we could talk about feelings all you want. Best defensive team out there to win the World Series. I just turned 30. My knees hurt. I had to sign some new paperwork. I'm trying to see my team win more than just one championship.
Wait a minute. Hold up.
I'm getting old, man. The knees are starting to hurt, man.
Guys in his 30s now.
Wait a minute. I'm curious. I mean, not to be in your business, but you're 30. You just signed new paperwork. What, you got some new knees? I mean,
I've just been told the 30s are the best years, but so far it's like, man,
I get it.
See, Zach and I.
Wait a minute. You said you got a car note. That's called life. You just life it, bro.
Yeah. I think Zach and I are thinking clearly, and you're not on this.
What do you mean?
Listen, I'm pushing 40. Zach just hit 30. We don't have much time left. Okay, this is the best chance for this group to win. Kyle's still in his 20s. He gets it. You over here obviously don't. I mean,
I'm in my twilight, so
yeah,
I'm just kind of.
I didn't say
So basically what y'all said is I'm winding down.
So you've given up.
My mental,
yeah. Getting ready for the upper room, buddy.
In the upper room. I'm getting ready to go meet Jesus.
Well,
y'all ain't right.
No,
y'all
you said right. It. We didn't say it. All right. So, by the way, as we've had a lot of great guests today, we appreciate all of them. How about this guest coming up? Do you see who's going to be on the afternoon show today?
Who's coming?
At 3 p.m. today?
Who?
A certain Bryce Harper.
Oh!
Bryce Harper.
I had to let him know that I just brought my son a Bryce Harper t-shirt. He didn't want a jersey, which still kind of blows
my
mind.
What's the buttons, Hugh? He didn't want buttons.
I don't understand that,
buttons
though,
are out. You didn't know that?
I don't understand that. Why he did not want a jersey?
Maybe he wanted a T-shirt. Realize jerseys are kind of cooler than the T-shirt.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Yeah, that's all right. I mean, his name's on the back of the shirt anyway.
It is, but it just kind of blew my mind that he didn't want a jersey though.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you didn't push back when you realized it was cheaper.
Oh yeah, that jersey was not cheap.
I'm sure you're like, all right, that's fine.
Yeah, well, hey, if you want a T-shirt,
your call.
Oh well, yeah, I did do that.
All right, so here's what we got coming up here. In the next hour and a half or so, live at Chickie's Pizza. Come on down, by the way. Coming down to Chickie's Pizza, South Philly, for our broadcast today. It is for the Red October Rally. Nothing goes better with Phillies baseball than crab fries and ice cold Budweiser. Online, chickiesatpizza.com. Hugh, it's not only Bryce Harper. I mean, he's a headliner. But you know who else is literally in the building?
Literally.
Big Game Dante, our anthem singer.
Big Game, is he here?
He's here. He's going to join us at 1:45 to sing the anthem. Now, Big Game Dante is 1-0 on our show singing the anthem.
Yes, he is.
Because remember, he sang before the Eagles-Packers
game. That's right. He did.
Maybe
we need to get him to sing every weekend.
Well, we don't want to. Yeah.
For the Eagles.
Yeah.
That is.
I'm afraid it won't work if we do it every weekend. That's just what I'm thinking. But we're going to have Big Game Dante sing today at 1:45 to get us ready for the postseason. Jeremy in New York is up talking about the Trey situation. What's up, Jeremy?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, Jeremy. What's up?
Okay, quick thing. I think that we're forgetting, you know, we're talking about feelings feelings shouldn't affect you at all.
Yeah.
This is the same guy that a sarcastic standing ovation turned his batting average around.
I told Joe that earlier, but he poo-pooed it.
What I'm saying is, if you look at their fielding percentages historically, it's less than half a percentage point. So we're talking about a 1 in 200 chance.
No.
You know, we're talking about this year, it's roughly about a percentage point.
Jeremy,
and I'm saying the 1 in 100 percent.
Jeremy, there's no way you could think they're close defensively. There's no way. Sosa gets to the ball that Trey doesn't get to. I don't care about an error just here or there. He makes more plays.
I don't think it's worth putting anything in Trey Turner's head that is not going to help him perform, because they're going to need him at the plate.
Exactly.
You know, you get a runner on base, whatever. It's a walk. That kind of thing happens all the time. And that's like one percentage point. But look, we're talking about a guy that we're going to need to get on base. We're going to need his bat in a major way. And he's already shown that he's susceptible to that kind of vote of confidence. And you take
well,
that away
I hear you
him,
on that. But yeah, I just think it's about team. This is the playoffs. I understand. I'm like, I'm not benching him. He starts every game. I mean, he bats second for me. I'm just saying ninth inning with a lead. And Jeremy, it's a good phone call. I couldn't disagree more. I don't think they're close. You can give me fielding percentage. That's based on errors awarded by an official score. Just use your eyes. I mean, Kyle, these guys aren't close defensively. They're not even the same stratosphere.
Yeah, I sent you some numbers here. Just this year, 2024 defensive run saved above average is according to Baseball Reference. Sosa, and this is just Sosa as a shortstop. He's plus +2. Trey Turner's minus -14.
Not even close.
I mean, the difference is massive.
I know, and if in a one run game, that's a big, big deal. Major league buddies with Hugh Douglas. Who thinks he'd be a better manager than me? Leaving Trey on for defense.
It's amazing how you hear what you want to hear.
Well, you said that. No, you said you guys would be a good manager, as if you would.
No, but you said it, Joe. You are the type of manager. Feelings aside, you're going to make moves regardless of how it could potentially affect the team in the long haul.
Playing to win.
I don't think you could do that. I think you have to be strategic in some of the things that you do.
Well,
you also need to know your people.
To be fair, I didn't suggest this during the regular season. That's when you got to play the long haul. This is the short game. You only got a few games to play with. Otherwise,
I get that part. I get that.
This is it.
But you also have to play the long game and knowing that there's a chance again. And the reason why I'm saying it like this because somebody brought it up. This is the same guy that once he got to standing O, he came out of whatever it is he was going
through. Well, then guess what? The next day after he's taken off for defense, we give him a standing O the next at bat. Fix the whole thing. 215-592-9494. Your phone call is coming up. We'll play something Middleton said this morning about fans at Citizens Bank Park. And, of course, big game Dante to perform the national anthem. He's 1-0 when he sings the anthem on our show. 215-592-949 for the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. NFL Week 5 is here, and you can start with a chance for a big win on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. New to FanDuel, you get started with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Thursday night football tonight, I'm going to take the home team to win and cover. Give me an anytime touchdown for Bijan Robinson and an under on the game. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to make every moment more of the season. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
For WIP, FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
Two balls, two strikes to Bryce Harper. Suarez delivers. Swing and a drive, left field. It's deep. It's going.
Yes.
And it is gone.
Yes. Yes.
It is bedlam at the bank as Bryce Harper has put the Phillies on top.
Are you kidding me?
His 10th career home run in the postseason. And he may never hit a bigger one.
He might not, but boy, that was a big one. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giulio. Bedlam at the bank. Two things I think of when I hear that. One, that we're going to have the Phillies for years to come on WIP. The announcement came down this morning.
Yeah, that was big.
It is awesome. The other thing that I think of is Bryce Harper, of course, because he hit that one. And he's going to be joining the afternoon show today at 3 p.m., so keep it tuned
right
gonna
here. He's going to be for years to come, too.
If it's up to him, even more years to come. Remember that whole contract thing?
Yeah.
But he's got a lot left on the deal, and we're very happy that Bryce is a member of the Phillies and leading them back in to October here. The other thing that hits me, Hugh, as I hear that, is the roar of the crowd. Bedlam at the bank. There's something about Citizens Bank Park in October. And I've been watching all the games the last few nights, right? Even the other playoff crowds aren't like this. The closest one I've heard the first 2 days is San Diego. They have a very good home field and a very good crowd. Like, they're really into it. But Baltimore was kind of dull the last couple days in terms of the crowd. Milwaukee was a little better last night because they won. But Houston's crowd, and I was down there for the World Series of 22, it's not the same as here. And it's going to be enormous, the crowd, in terms of the noise and the atmosphere on Saturday. I can't wait as Red October returns. John Middleton was on with the morning show today. Here's what he said about the fans here in Philadelphia and the home field advantage they have.
I wasn't there when the commissioner made this statement, but people who were told me about it. When he walked into the stadium in 22, he turned to some people and said, I've never seen anything like this in my life. You got to try to put it in perspective like that. Having grown up here, I'm not surprised by this because I've lived this since I've been 5 years old in person. But you go to other stadiums and they say, oh, this is really, people are excited. But you kind of look at me and say, well, that's like nothing to us.
It really is different. I mean, Hugh, the game, I don't know what game he referenced the commissioner was at, but when the game where Rhys Hoskins hit the home run against the Braves, the bat slam game, is the loudest stadium I've ever been in for any sport. I can't even describe other than it was like you couldn't even hear yourself think. And football stadiums just inherently have more people, right? There's about 75,000. There's like 30 more thousand people. I've never been at a sporting event as loud as that moment then.
You know, I have friends that live not too far from CBP. And they tell me about times where, well, when I say not too far, I mean they're about 5 or 6 blocks away.
Right, down the street, yeah.
You know, they talk about how loud it is. It almost feels like the game is right on top of them. And that's a great thing, man. This city has something that no other city has. And I've been in a major city. I've been in another major city. It's been great. But the thing that sticks out to me was the parades. Like the one that I went to here, I remember it seemed like everybody and their mother in Philadelphia was on the parade route. The other place that I was at, I don't need to say any names, bus came through so fast, if you would have turned and if you would have blinked, you would have missed it.
Different.
It was a little different.
Good morning,
man.
Atlanta.
I didn't say that.
We knew it, though.
I didn't say that.
We knew where you've been.
You don't know where I've been.
Yeah, we do.
You
Google.
Know where I've been.
You're Googleable. We just Google you Atlanta, New
you
York.
You don't know where I've been. You don't know what parades I've seen. But anyway, the point that I'm making is this. There's nothing like being here in Philadelphia, and there's nothing like this fan base here in Philadelphia.
Well, and there's nothing like the advantage it gives. I mean, I really thought a few years ago it rattled opposing pitchers. I mean, you could see Strider, who obviously is a great pitcher, he got rattled in that inning where Hoskins hit the home run, and we got to do it this weekend to Mets or Brewers pitchers. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Jackson is up on WIP. Hey, Jackson.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, Jackson. What's up?
So here's the thing about the Trey Turner situation is that it's very obvious to everyone involved in Mundo Sosa gives you a much better chance to win in the field in the ninth inning. The problem is that it's not about feelings either. Is Trey Turner due up to hit the next inning? What you can't have happen is Carlos Estevez gives up a solo shot to tie the game that doesn't involve Mundo Sosa at all. And now Mundo Sosa's leading off trying to get us a walk-off hit. We can't have that. If Trey Turner is due up to hit seventh, of course you put in Mundo Sosa. And the feeling shouldn't be a factor because, like we talked about earlier, this should be a conversation happening with him today, yesterday, this week. This should be a plan the whole team's aware of. It gives you the best chance to win. He gets paid $330 million, he'll get over it.
Jackson, I think you bring up very fair points. No, he does. I mean, you're right. What's coming up if it's only a one-run lead, and you're right, a cheap solo home run all of a sudden beats you or ties the game, that should factor in. I think you bring up a good point. The other thing, Jackson, and this will matter as we go through the playoffs, is what kind of team are you facing, right? Like, the Mets aren't a big contact team, but they hit home runs. The Brewers make more contact. The Padres make a lot of contact, right? If you're facing a team that's going to hit a bunch of ground balls in contact, like, it matters even more to me. I got to get the best defense out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, we talked about fielding percentage earlier. That's, you know, it's 2024. We have better metrics for this now. And we got ground balls going through the infield. You know, everyone knows that Edmundo Sosa gives you a better chance to field that ball cleanly. And in the playoffs, the margin for error, particularly with this team, that the window might be just this year. Like, we have to have the best chance to win out there. And if Trey Turner's an adult in the room, he's obviously going to be fine with that.
See, Jackson gets it. Good phone call. Jackson, many
he's an
callers.
Adult in the room.
Get it, yes.
Okay, I mean, I hear you. I mean, I always find it fascinating how, excuse me, how the money always directly is correlated with how much of an adult you should be. You make $350 million. You need to be an adult. There's a lot of people that I could give you examples of that are grown individuals that have a ton of bread that don't act like adults. It's not a direct correlation to being an adult just because you got bread. It's not.
I actually think, and I everyone's different, right? That's your point. I think Trey might be internally bothered. I think he would handle it like a pro. I'd be shocked if he put up a fuss.
Yeah, but how much would it affect his batting? That's the thing that I'm concerned about, because a lot of what hitters do is where they are in the mental space.
So,
and that's obvious. The one thing that I feel like, I don't know Trey Turner from a can of paint, but I feel like I know him well enough to know that he has to be in a good space in order for him to have success at the plate. And that's what we're talking about.
So I don't know what would happen, but I also think we're ignoring a possibility that we haven't touched on. What if they do leave him in the field and his fielding becomes an issue this postseason?
See, if that,
now that
that's
could affect
different.
Him.
Now that's something different. Now if it's, but the way you proposed it, Joe, and this is the way that I thought about it, I'm not even giving him an opportunity. I'm just pulling him. Just because of something that happened last year in the postseason.
No, it's not.
I'm not taking a chance.
He's a bad defender. It just feels to me like they're playing with one hot hand behind their back. And look, he's a better hitter, so he's got to play, right? You get a trade-off, right? Mm-hmm. There are certain players that are below average defenders, but they hit, and you trade it off. Right? You got to hope for the best. In the ninth inning, and the last caller made a good point, potentially you're only up by one, and then it goes to extra innings. But if he's not going to get up again, what's the point of him on the field? You've exhausted his at-bats, right? You got the good out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Get him off the field before the bad.
Yeah. I mean, I hear in that scenario, but in the other scenarios that we have presented, if there is an opportunity for him to be up, you're taking away a good hitter. I don't think you should do that. It's a risk.
No, it's the same thing. Like, I'll give you an example. If they pinch run for someone, like Castellanos isn't the fastest guy, right? Like, anytime you pinch run for a good hitter, you run the risk. If it doesn't lead to the win right there, that bat comes up again. I get that. I do. Let's go to Lorraine in the Northeast. Hey, Lorraine.
How you doing?
Hey, good, Lorraine. What's up?
Well, I was listening to you guys talk about Trey Turner.
Yes, ma'am.
Trey Turner doesn't have, like whoever said, a tight enough mind to accept that kind of a switch. You got to leave the man in there.
See, they say a tight mind. You got to have a tight mind.
How do
mind,
we
Joe.
Know that, though, Lorraine?
Because he, we, when he,
how do we know it?
Cheer for him,
yeah, how do we know?
Start playing better.
Well, unfortunately, he came to probably one of the best fan bases in the country, and well, as we all know, whether it's Mike Schmidt or Bryce Harper or Garrett Stubbs, we're going to get on you if you're not doing well. And it's unprecedented what we did with the standing ovation. Unprecedented. He turned around. He did well. Why even tap into that possibility?
Because I want to win, Lorraine. I mean,
that's the only thing that drives
you. Yeah.
He just
wants
to win. But
that's the big thing. You want him to hit too, don't you?
Sure, of course you do.
She's
but
not, she mad
so,
at you.
Well, no, there's no reason to be mad. We're trying to make the team the best it is. And Lorraine, we appreciate the call. I also think. May I present something?
What have you been presenting all day? What you got?
Well, are we sure he started a hit because of the ovation?
It's a direct correlation
but
to that.
But he's also, what have we known for 2 years now? He's super streaky. He's a good hitter that is super streaky. Weren't the odds that Trey Turner was eventually going to start hitting? like, he did it this year. He didn't get any ovations this year. He just got hot. He got cold. I don't know. I mean, Kyle, sometimes I think we made that whole thing. Like, the only reason he started hitting in August last year was he got an ovation. He's a $300 million player that has a career 295 average. He was probably going to hit at some point again anyway.
Is Jack down there?
Well, somewhere.
No, he's somewhere around here.
Yeah. I'm sure he's not too happy to hear that.
My job is not to make Jack.
No, I think you're right. I mean, Trey Turner is a professional baseball player. He probably gets so tired of hearing about the ovation.
Of course he does.
But let's be honest. He did hit better after they stood the standing.
Of course he did. But don't you think he would have hit anyway?
People tend to believe that we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. If we like to think that's the case, but in Philadelphia fan lore, the fans brought him out of that.
I know. We're now using that to say if you take him off the field, it'll ruin him. I think.
But that's how we think. So why you want to bring logic to the conversation now? And we've been doing this all day.
Now
you want to bring logic to the conversation.
Because I want to win a World Series, all right? We got to get 3 wins, 4 wins, 4 wins. So I got to win 11 games here.
Now you want to hit me with the
I have 11 games to win before I parade you.
What, Kyle? What are you about to say?
Jeez.
I'm a little defensive
I think the sensitive one's not Trey Turner.
Honestly. So, like, Hugh, say you went the first 4 games of your Eagles career without a sack, and then the fans gave you a standing ovation, right? Like, you were rookie of the year. You had 10 sacks your first year with the Jets.
That would make me feel warm and fuzzy inside.
And all of a sudden you had sacks, and then every time that they talked about how well you were playing, it was like, well, that standing ovation they gave Hugh. I worked for this.
Well, can I give you an example of something that is somewhat similar?
No.
Y'all not get mad at me?
Nope.
Okay, fine.
Go ahead.
No. I mean, isn't it kind of the same thing with Brandon Graham a little bit? Had the biggest sack of his career in the Super Bowl.
Well, the fans didn't really treat him. They didn't give him an ovation.
Well, it was the opposite. Brandon Graham, his 15 years here?
Yeah.
He's been vilified by the fans. He's been on the cusp of being called a bust.
Well, he was called a bust.
Because I was trying to be nice, though, because I wasn't here.
No, he was.
I'm trying to soft sell because I don't want nobody to get mad at me thinking
he was called. People say Earl Thomas. It happened.
Yeah. We don't take credit for Graham, though.
He's cheered and revered like he was, you know.
But that's because Brandon Graham worked at it. We didn't do that.
I mean, the players kind of did do that. Feel like they believed
no
it.
Way.
Oh, boy.
It was a stretch.
You tried. They tried.
Hey, it was a little bit of a wrench. It was a wrench.
I mean, I appreciate the try.
2 balls, 2 strikes to Bryce Harper. Suarez delivers. Swing and a drive. Left field. It's deep. It's going.
Yes!
And it is gone.
Yes. Yes.
It is bedlam at the bank as Bryce Harper has put the Phillies on top.
Are you kidding me?
His 10th career home run in the postseason. And he may never hit a bigger one.
He might not, but boy, that was a big one. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giulio. Bedlam at the bank. Two things I think of when I hear that. One, that we're going to have the Phillies for years to come on WIP. The announcement came down this morning.
Yeah, that was big.
It is awesome. The other thing that I think of is Bryce Harper, of course, because he hit that one. And he's going to be joining the afternoon show today at 3 p.m., so keep it tuned
right
gonna
here. He's going to be here for years to come, too.
If it's up to him, even more years to come. Remember that whole contract thing?
Yeah, yeah.
But he's got a lot left on the deal, and we're very happy that Bryce is a member of the Phillies and leading them back in to October here. The other thing that hits me, Hugh, is I hear that. Is the roar of the crowd. Bedlam at the bank. There's something about Citizens Bank Park in October. And I've been watching all the games the last few nights, right? Even the other playoff crowds aren't like this. The closest one I've heard the first 2 days is San Diego. They have a very good home field and a very good crowd. Like, they're really into it. But Baltimore was kind of dull the last couple days in terms of the crowd. Milwaukee was a little better last night because they won. But Houston's crowd, and I was down there for the World Series of 22, it's not the same as here. And it's going to be enormous, the crowd, in terms of the noise and the atmosphere on Saturday. I can't wait as Red October returns. John Middleton was on with the morning show today. Here's what he said about the fans here in Philadelphia and the home field advantage they have.
I wasn't there when the commissioner made this statement, but people who were told me about it. When he walked into the stadium in 22, he turned to some people and said, I've never seen anything like this in my life. You know, that's, you got to try to put it in perspective like that. I mean, having grown up here, I'm not surprised by this because I've lived this since I've been 5 years old in person. But it's you go to other stadiums and they say, oh, this is really, people are excited. But you kind of look at me and say, well, that's like nothing to us.
It really is different. I mean, Hugh, the game, I don't know what game he referenced the commissioner was at, but when the game where Rhys Hoskins hit the home run against the Braves, the bat slam game, is the loudest stadium I've ever been in for any sport. I can't even describe other than it was like you couldn't even hear yourself think. And football stadiums just inherently have more people, right? There's about 75,000. There's like 30 more thousand people. I've never been at a sporting event as loud as that moment then.
You know, I have friends that live not too far from CBP. And they tell me about times where, well, when I say not too far, I mean they're about 5 or 6 blocks away.
Right, down the street, yeah.
You know, they talk about how loud it is. It almost feels like the game is right on top of them. And that's a great thing, man. This city has something that no other city has. And I've been in a major city. I've been in another major city. It's been great. But the thing that sticks out to me was the parades. Like the one that I went to here, I remember it seemed like everybody and their mother in Philadelphia was on the parade route. The other place that I was at, I don't need to say any names, bus came through so fast, if you would have turned and if you would have blinked, you would have missed it.
Different.
It was a little different. It was a little
good
different.
Good morning,
man.
Atlanta.
I didn't say that.
We knew it.
I didn't say that.
We knew where you've been.
You ain't know
what,
you don't know where I've been.
Yeah, we do.
You
Google.
Know where I've been.
You're Googleable. We just Google you Atlanta, New
you
York.
Know, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what parades I've seen. But anyway, the point that I'm making is this. There's nothing like being here in Philadelphia, and there's nothing like this fan base here in Philadelphia.
Well, and there's nothing like the advantage it gives. I mean, I really thought a few years ago it rattled opposing pitchers. I mean, you could see Strider, who obviously is a great pitcher, he got rattled in that inning where Hoskins hit the home run, and we got to do it this weekend to Mets or Brewers pitchers. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Jackson is up on WIP. Hey, Jackson.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, Jackson. What's up?
So here's the thing about the Trey Turner situation is that it's very obvious to everyone involved and Mundo Sosa gives you a much better chance to win in the field in the ninth inning. The problem is that it's not about feelings either. Is Trey Turner due up to hit the next inning? What you can't have happen is Carlos Estevez gives up a solo shot to tie the game that doesn't involve Mundo Sosa at all. And now Mundo Sosa's leading off trying to get us a walk-off hit. We can't have that. If Trey Turner is due up to hit seventh, of course you put in Mundo Sosa. And the feeling shouldn't be a factor because, like we talked about earlier, this should be a conversation happening with him today, yesterday, this week. This should be a plan the whole team's aware of. It gives you the best chance to win. He gets paid $330 million. He'll get over it.
Jackson, I think you bring up very fair points. No, he does. I mean, you're right. What's coming up, if it's only a one-run lead, and you're right, a cheap solo home run all of a sudden beats you or ties the game, that should factor in. I think you bring up a good point. The other thing, Jackson, and this will matter as we go through the playoffs, is what kind of team are you facing, right? Like, the Mets aren't a big contact team, but they hit home runs. The Brewers make more contact. The Padres make a lot of contact, right? If you're facing a team that's going to hit a bunch of ground balls in contact, like, it matters even more to me. I got to get the best defense out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, we talked about fielding percentage earlier. That's it's 2024. We have better metrics for this now. And we got ground balls going through the infield. Everyone knows that Edmundo Sosa gives you a better chance to field that ball cleanly. And in the playoffs, the margin for error, particularly with this team, that the window might be just this year. Like, we have to have the best chance to win out there. And if Trey Turner's an adult in the room, he's obviously going to be fine with that.
See, Jackson gets it. Good phone call. Jackson, many
he's an
callers.
Adult in the room.
Get it, yes.
Okay, I mean, I hear you. I mean, I always find it fascinating how, excuse me, how the money always directly is correlated with how much of an adult you should be. You make $350 million. You need to be an adult. There's a lot of people that I could give you examples of that are grown individuals that have a ton of bread that don't act like adults. It's not a direct correlation to being an adult just because you got bread. It's not.
I actually think, and I everyone's different, right? That's your point. I think Trey might be internally bothered. I think he would handle it like a pro. I'd be shocked if he put up a fuss.
Yeah, but how much would it affect his batting? That's the thing that I'm concerned about. Because a lot of what hitters do is where they are in the mental space.
So,
and that's obvious. The one thing that I feel like, I don't know Trey Turner from a can of paint, but I feel like I know him well enough to know that he has to be in a good space in order for him to have success at the plate. And that's what we're talking about.
So I don't know what would happen, but I also think we're ignoring a possibility that we haven't touched on. What if he is they do leave him in the field, and his fielding becomes an issue this postseason.
See, if that,
now that
now that's
could
something
affect
different.
Him.
Now, that's something different. Now, if it's – but the way you proposed it, Joe, and this is the way that I thought about it, I'm not even giving him an opportunity. I'm just pulling him. Just because of something that happened last year in the postseason.
No, it's not,
I'm not taking a chance.
He's a bad defender. It just feels to me like they're playing with one hot hand behind their back. And look, he's a better hitter, so he's got to play, right? It's a trade-off, right? Mm-hmm. There are certain players that are below-average defenders, but they hit, and you trade it off. Right? You got to hope for the best. In the ninth inning, and the last caller made a good point, potentially you're only up by one, and then it goes to extra innings. But if he's not going to get up again, what's the point of him on the field? You've exhausted his at-bats, right? You got the good out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Get him off the field before the bad.
Yeah. I mean, I hear in that scenario, but in the other scenarios that we have presented, if there is an opportunity for him to be up, you're taking away a good hitter. I don't think you should do that. It's a risk.
No, it's the same thing. Like, I'll give you an example. If they pinch run for someone, like Castellanos isn't the fastest guy, right? Like, anytime you pinch run for a good hitter, you run the risk. If it doesn't lead to the win right there, that bat comes up again. I get that. I do. Let's go to Lorraine in the Northeast. Hey, Lorraine.
How you doing?
Hey,
good,
Lorraine.
What's up?
Well, I was listening to you guys talk about Trey Turner.
Yes, ma'am.
Trey Turner doesn't have, like whoever said, a tight enough mind to accept that kind of a switch. You got to leave the man in there.
See, they say a tight mind. You got to have a tight mind.
How do
mind,
we
Joe.
Know that, though, Lorraine?
Because
how do we know it? Well, unfortunately, he came to probably one of the best fan bases in the country. And well, as we all know, whether it's Mike Schmidt or Bryce Harper or Garrett Stubbs, we're going to get on you if you're not doing well. And it's unprecedented what we did with the standing ovation. Unprecedented. He turned around. He did well. Why even tap into that possibility?
Because I want to win, Lorraine. I mean,
that's the only thing that drives
Joe.
He just wants to win.
But that's the big thing. You want him to hit too, don't you?
Sure. Of course you do.
There's
no reason to be mad. We're trying to make the team the best it is. And Lorraine, we appreciate the call. I also think... May I present something?
What have you been presenting all day? What you got?
Well, are we sure he started to hit because of the ovation?
It's a direct correlation
but
to that.
But he's also, what have we known for 2 years now? He's super streaky. He's a good hitter that is super streaky. Weren't the odds that Trey Turner was eventually going to start hitting? Like, he did it this year. He didn't get any ovations this year. He just got hot. He got cold. I don't know. I mean, Kyle, sometimes I think we made that whole thing. Like, the only reason he started hitting in August last year was he got an ovation. He's a $300 million player that has a career 295 average. He was probably going to hit at some point again anyway.
Is Jack down there?
Well, somewhere.
No, he's somewhere around here.
Yeah. I'm sure he's not too happy to hear that.
My job is not to make Jack.
No, I think you're right. I mean, Trey Turner is a professional baseball player. He probably gets so tired of hearing about the ovation.
Of course he does.
But let's be honest. He did hit better after they did the standing
ovation. Of course he did. But don't you think he would have hit anyway?
People tend to believe that we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. If we like to think that's the case, but in Philadelphia fan lore, the fans brought him out of that.
I know. We're now using that to say if you take him off the field, it'll ruin him. But that's how we think.
So why you want to bring logic to the conversation now? We've been doing this all day.
Now
you want to bring logic to the conversation.
Because I want to win a World Series, all right? We got to get 3 wins, 4 wins, 4 wins.
So
I got to win 11 games here.
Now you want to hit me with the
I have 11 games to win before I parade you.
What, Kyle? What are you about to say?
Jeez. I'm a little defensive right now.
I think the sensitive one's not Trey Turner.
Honestly. So, like, Hugh, say you went the first 4 games of your Eagles career without a sack, and then the fans gave you a standing ovation, right? Like, you were rookie of the year. You had 10 sacks your first year with the Jets.
That would make me feel warm and fuzzy inside.
And all of a sudden you had sacks, and then every time that they talked about how well you were playing, it was like, well, that standing ovation they gave Hugh. I worked for this.
Well, can I give you an example of something that is somewhat similar?
No.
Y'all not get mad at me?
Nope.
Okay, fine.
Go ahead.
No. I mean, isn't it kind of the same thing with Brandon Graham a little bit? Had the biggest sack of his career in the Super Bowl.
Well, the fans didn't really treat him. They didn't give him an ovation.
Well, he was
it was the opposite.
Brandon Graham, his 15 years here?
Yeah.
He's been vilified by the fans. He's been on the cusp of being called a bust. And that
well, he was play, called a bust. He
well,
was.
Okay. Yeah, because I was trying to be nice, though, because I wasn't here.
No, he was.
I'm trying to soft sell because I don't want nobody to get mad at me thinking
of. Oh, he was called. People say Earl Thomas. That happened.
Yeah. We don't take credit now, for Graham, though.
But right, now right. he's – but he's cheered and revered like he was, you know.
But that's because Brandon Graham worked at it. We didn't do that.
I mean, the players kind of did do that. They feel like they believed
no
it.
Way.
Oh, boy.
It was a stretch.
You tried. You tried.
Hey, it was a little bit of a wrench. It was a wrench.
I mean, I appreciate the try.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.